Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the fifth pasuk. We've been studying about the balanced person, like the balanced ship. Yesterday we spoke about the balance between feeling accomplished and knowing what it is that we didn't do. Yesterday we spoke about Abraham Avinu after the greatest accomplishment, the Akedah, the 10th test that put Abraham Avinu and his future on a different level. And right after that, Pasuk says, Vayelechu shenehem yahdav. They came back to the young men that were waiting for them, and they did not show even the slightest show of arrogance, ego, even though they just accomplished something 137 years. Abraham Avinu was at that point, and this was his greatest accomplishment. And yet, with all of God's blessings that came out of it, Abraham Avinu did not show and gloat and talk about what he accomplished. And by the way, it showed in the way he behaved when he came back. There's a question. Abraham Avinu came home, and right away he heard his wife passed away. And the way he reacted was with such grace and such a calm and strength that we spoke about on Friday. We spoke about Abraham Avinu, how he acted so appropriate with Ephron, with Bene Het, is actually connected to what we did yesterday. We explained yesterday that the reason why Abraham Avinu was able to behave the way he did, Yahdav, is because he understood that in life you take credit for making a decision. That's all you did. But all the success that came out of it, all the results that came out of it, it has nothing to do with you. That's a gift that you should thank the Creator for. And actually, the greater the accomplishment, the more humble you become. When you realize that you didn't do it and you only made the choice, which again is something to be proud of, and you realize that it's the Creator who made it happen, so actually you become more humble because you realize how thankful you should be for being the recipient of such a great result. So actually, when a person does something big, it makes him even more humble. Like Yaakov Avinu says, Katonti mikol hasadim. He says, Yaakov Avinu, the more kindness I see Hashem does for me, the smaller I feel. So when a person feels that he did something, the more arrogant he becomes. The more he feels like he's doing. But when a person realizes that the only thing he did was his choice, and everything else from the setup of the circumstance till the consequence and the results and all that took place, all of that was not him. So the bigger the accomplishment, the more humble he becomes. Because the more thankful he becomes. If Hashem only gave you something small to accomplish after your decision, so you have that much appreciation. If he gives you something bigger, then you have even more appreciation, and therefore you become more humble. So actually, the Akedah, instead of being the event that made Abraham the most haughty, it actually made him the most humble. Because the amount of thanks that he felt for such a result, for such a situation that Hashem put him in, and he helped him go all the way and fulfill the nisayon, great feeling of gratitude for Hashem. So actually, the more you do, the more humble you should become. Follow? The more you achieve, the more humble it should make you if you're a balanced person. If you're not a balanced person, so you see the achievement as yours, and you start to think a lot of yourself, and then the many problems of life, like ego, like kavod, like disappointments of the way people are treating you. Sometimes you get disappointed in your own family because they're not realizing how hashuv you are, how important you are. And all of a sudden, your world starts to fall apart, all because you're off balance. You took credit for great accomplishments that you're not doing. But if you're balanced and you see that all you did was the choice and Hashem did the rest for you, you become more humble. What did I do to deserve this? And as you become more humble, the world around you becomes much more beautiful. Because now all of a sudden you realize that you don't deserve a lot of things. You're overwhelmed by the blessings. And you can't believe how much you've received and continue to receive. Which explains how Abraham Avinu was able to deal with the passing of Sarah Imenu. People ask, how does he not come home after the greatest act in his life of 137 years of a great life, the number one, the top? He comes home and his wife passes away. People ask, how can it be that he's not disappointed? How can it be he's not asking, after what I just accomplished, this is the way Hashem rewards me? Zo mitzvah vezo schara. This is the way Hashem rewards a mitzvah. I come, I'm on top of the world. I come home and I lose my wife. How can that be? People say, I can't believe it. How did he do it? How did he do it? He did it. And Abraham Avinu wouldn't understand your question. Abraham Avinu wouldn't understand even what you're talking about. Some things need an answer, but some things are not even a question. Abraham would say, what's the question? What I accomplished? What did I accomplish? I made a good choice. It was a great choice. Maybe it was a hard choice. But he didn't have that feeling. He didn't have that ego, that entitlement, because he actually felt more humble for the great blessing of such a great thing that God gave him. So it's not a question when he came home why he didn't feel cheated, but now he lost his wife. What, you weren't cheated? If someone gives you so much and then takes away something, you don't feel cheated by him. When you think you gave someone so much and then they take something from you, then you feel cheated. But if someone gave you so much and then took away something, that's not the feeling of being cheated. It's not a question. The only one who would ask that question is someone who is not a balanced person, who thinks that they're doing, that they're accomplishing. So I'm giving Hashem so much. Hashem, I just gave you the Akedah. I just gave you this. How could you take this away from me after what I gave you? it's all a bilbul. Bilbul means the person is all confused, and because he's confused, he sees a world of confusion. If he would put his head in the right place, he would see a world that actually makes sense. It's we that are mevulval, not the world. It's we that are not clear. Which also explains how Avraham Avinu, how well behaved he was with Ephron, with Benehet, his composure, his humility in talking to them. These are low people compared to the great Avraham. But Avraham didn't see the world like that. He saw himself as a very blessed person who therefore owes more than anybody else and didn't look at them as lower than him. Actually, he looked at himself as someone who owes more than they owe. So possibly they may even be greater than him in his eyes. Because look how much God has blessed him. He's given him more than them. So the fact that he's doing more is a product of Hashem's bracha, that maybe they don't have that same opportunity. So he didn't look at people as low people. He viewed himself as a person who was very blessed and therefore owed so much more than anybody else. So he's not disappointed by Sarah Imenu's death. He's not going to show his kavod or his ego or his to the deal with Ephron and the people. He doesn't talk like that. He doesn't speak to people as if they're lower than him. Why? Because he understands the reality. He's a balanced person. He knows all that he did was a small part and everything else was a gift. The more a person lives his life that way, all of a sudden his relationships start to beautifully come together. His home becomes a humble home. A humble home is a blessed home. A person who's humble in his home is a person who's going to see beracha in his home. A marriage with humility is a different marriage. What brings marriage to be very challenging and sometimes falls apart? Arrogance. Or better yet, entitlement, where a person feels I deserve. After all that I do, I deserve. Both parties feel they deserve. And that's where Geinam begins. When people are together and they each feel deserving. And why do they feel deserving? Because they do so much. Since you do so much, so you are deserving. And you're never going to get the amount that you deserve. Because your deserving mind probably is in Shamayim. And reality on the ground doesn't see that. And it ends up being a very unfortunate relationship. Not only in marriage, but every relationship. A rabbi teaches the students or has a kahal. At some point, he says, look what I've done for these people. And when they don't reciprocate properly, what does he do? He goes home, tells his wife, I can't believe it. After all that I have done for them, this is the way they talk to me. This is the way they treat me. Whether he tells his wife or not, that's the way he feels. And he becomes a miserable rabbi who says, it's not worth it. All the investments, not worth it. Look at the way the people react. Look at the way what they do. They don't appreciate anything. This is what happens to a lot of good people. Who do a lot of good, but they lose their balance on the ship, and then the ship sinks. Because they misunderstood what is reality, and they became very disappointed in situations that they really should not be disappointed in. It all started from a bad place. Their ship is not in a right place. So who can be disappointed? Anyone who does good, the more good you do in this world, you have the bigger trap of disappointment. The better father and mother you are to your children, the more you're going to be disappointed if you're off balance. After all, I do for my kids what nobody does. What I give them, what I take them, what I do. This is how they pay me back. This attitude, this mindset is so destructive. It's the trap of being a good person. It's the trap of doing for others. You're doing for others. And then your children disappoint you. Your wife will disappoint you. Your husband will disappoint you. Your students will disappoint you. Your employees will disappoint you. You go out of your way for your employees. You gave them a bonus. You gave each one a bonus much more than expected. 2 weeks later, they come for a raise. Wow. You're not paying me enough. I'm not appreciated here. What? I did for you. And you get disappointed and disappointed by so many people that in your mind should be bowing to you. Abraham Avinu, if he was an off-balance person, he's waiting for Bnei Het, the Am Haaretz, to bow to him. But he's bowing to them. A balanced person doesn't lose themselves. And their relationships start to come together in the most beautiful way. This is one of the great challenges of life. On this point, there is an important nekuda that we should point out. In Parashat Teruma, we find that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael, ve'yikhu li teruma, and they should give a donation to the building of the Mishkan, my home. Daber, talk to them. Says the Baal HaTurim over here, Daber el Bnei Yisrael. Patach Daber belashon pius. Lashon pius, says the Baal HaTurim, that Daber means appease them. The word appease comes from the word pius, to appease. Appease them, meaning try to convince them. Tell them, listen, if you find it in your heart to help the building of the Mishkan, to help Hashem build his edifice, maybe you could help us with a donation. Maybe you can give something of yours. Daber, Lashon Pius. Don't go up to them and say, give money. We're building the Mishkan, give money. No. Daber, appease them. Try to get them to be convinced to give. Which is a little bit hard to understand, because in reality, their money that they have was just a miraculous lottery that they basically won when Hashem gave them all the riches of Egypt. All the wealth that they had was not something they worked for. It was all given to them by the Creator. So where is the Hakarat HaTov? Don't we owe someone Hakarat HaTov when they give us everything? Don't we owe them gratitude for that? Don't the Jewish people owe gratitude to Hashem for all the money he gave them for free? You know, when a person works for the money, he may convince himself that he made the money, which, as we're learning, it's not true. But at least over there, you understand why he may fall in that trap. Because after all, he's going to work, he's making decisions, he's doing, he's buying, he's selling, he's talking. But in this situation, it was clear. They didn't work a day in their lives. and they're wealthy people. God gave them wealth without working. So in that clarity of receiving God's blessings, don't they owe Hashem gratitude? And therefore, if he's building a house, if he's building an edifice, shouldn't they be forced because they owe the Creator? When someone owes you money, you sold them goods, he owes you money. You go appease him to pay you? That's not the way it's supposed to be. He owes you money, you call him up, say, you owe me something. Please pay it. You're past due. So here, isn't hakarat hatov, isn't appreciation, isn't that an obligation? Isn't that a bill that you owe the Creator? So why is the Baal HaTurim saying that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you go tell them, don't tell them you owe me. That's what he's saying. Don't tell them you owe God. Appease them. Meaning try to convince them that they should give out of the goodness of their heart. Why is that the right way for them to give? What happened to the Hakarat HaTov? I once told you a very important principle, and it's very much connected to what we're learning, to this balanced person. When it comes to financial transactions, when somebody owes money to someone, when Reuven owes Shimon money, so Shimon also has the right to demand the money. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Shimon has the right to go to Reuven and say, you owe me $1,000, pay me. So the both sides have a connection to this money. One must pay, and one has the right to ask for the money and demand the money. That's the way it works in the financial world. You owe me, so I have the right to demand my money. In the world of Hakarat HaTov, it's a little tricky. Because it's not like everything else in life, like I just described. Hakarat HaTov is not the same. Does someone owe Hakarat HaTov? For someone who did them a favor? Reuven, he saved your life, gave you a kidney. You owe him Hakarat HaTov? You owe him the world. You owe him the way the Torah teaches us about how to reciprocate is beyond our imagination. How far we have to go. So much so, for example, the Torah says that we have to be careful with the Egyptian not to go too distant, to distance him from us. They want to marry a Jewish girl. So only one, two generations, we don't let them. But the third generation already, you let them marry a Jewish girl. The Torah says, why? Because you can't treat the Egyptian like he's a nobody. Because he hosted you in his country. You live by him. You live by him. We were slaves by him. They were torturing us. But Torah says, but you can't forget that you live by him. One wrong doesn't cover the right. He did something good for you. You owe him. The fact that he did something wrong to you, it's not a good thing, but doesn't take away the good that he did. And therefore, you have to be mindful of that. And you can't completely push them away. Ammon and Moab, we completely pushed them away. They never allow to marry a Jewish girl. But the Egyptian who converts, third generation already. Why? Not because he's so special. Because you owe him. Ki ger ha'ita be'artzo. You were living by his land. They opened their land for you. So there's a limit. Hakarat ha'tov. The amount of hakarat ha'tov that we need to show for those who gave us the obligation is great. But don't fall into the trap. It's not like financial transactions. By hakarat ha'tov, it's only a one-way street. And we must always remind ourselves to be balanced in this area. What does it mean, it's a one-way street? It means you owe tremendous hakarat ha'tov for the guy who gave you a kidney. Or anyone that did you a favor, small or large. You owe that person, however way you can pay them back. With a favor, with money, with whatever it is. But unlike financial transactions, just because you owe, it doesn't create on the other side someone who has the right to demand. You don't have the right to demand hakarat ha'tov. Very big item. Meaning, if you go over to your children and say, after all that I did for you, don't you think you owe me this? No. No good. They may owe you. They do owe you. But you can't feel that you can't demand, better yet, you can't demand a payment for what you did for them. You have to teach them to fulfill their obligation to you. It's a little different. But you can't demand it as a right that they owe you. Follow? Again, one more time. There's a difference in teaching a child how to pay his bills to his parents, then the parents giving off the feeling that they have the right to demand reciprocation from him. It may seem like very similar, but it's worlds apart. Teaching a child how to pay his bills is very different than you saying you owe me. The attitude is different. The wording is different. The expectations are different. Guy gives you a kidney. He's not, in our Torah, he's not allowed to demand hakarat ha'tov. What? Why? Because, wait, why did you give a kidney? You have to ask him on day one. Why are you giving the kidney? We're going to interview him. Why are you giving this person a kidney? Is this a financial transaction? He says, oh, no, no, no. Is someone forcing you to do it? No, God forbid. Why are you giving your kidney to a stranger? He says, you know why? Because I want to do kindness. That was on the interview. You want to do kindness? That's why you did it? Okay. Once you want to do kindness, if you demand something in return, so now your kindness has a string attached. If it's a string attached, so it's not kindness. It's not pure kindness for sure. Basically, you're giving someone kindness and you're expecting something back from it. So it is now putting a stain on your kindness. Kindness, by definition, means you're doing something unselfishly for someone else. But once you expect something back, like money, like a gift, like whatever, so now it's not kindness, at least not pure kindness, it's tainted. So that's why a person is not allowed or doesn't have the right to demand appreciation. Because from his angle, once he demands appreciation, so it shows that his act is no longer the kind act, the pure kind act that it was before. Big item. So someone says, listen, I see you work hard for your children. You take care of them, you bathe them, you diaper them. Tell me, why are you doing all this? Most normal people would say, what do you mean? I want to take care of them. Kindness. Helping my kids. I'm there for them. Once you're doing it because of kindness, and that's why we should do it, we should take care of our children because of kindness, and we should take care of our wives because of kindness, and we should take care of anybody because of kindness. I give a very big donation. Built the yeshiva. Why'd you do it? So why'd you do it? Me? What do you mean? Cut. Olam hesed yibaneh. You kidding? I know that kindness, that giving to others in need, is the greatest thing I can do. I'm so excited to give. But now after you give, and you're waiting for someone to recognize you, you get disappointed because the people didn't give you as much recognition as you thought you should get. Like they didn't call you enough times to say thank you. Or they didn't recognize you in public like you thought you should be recognized. Or whatever reason. So then all of a sudden, you turned your kindness into investment. One time a person told me that somebody he knows is very upset with me. I told him, why? What did I do to him? He says he's very disappointed. I said, why? He says, because one time he gave the yeshiva donation. And he feels like there hasn't been enough appreciation on your side. And Hazid, the guy, is miserable. I felt bad for him. He's miserable. He feels terrible. But that's not the right approach. It's the wrong approach. Of course, maybe I was wrong. My job is to appreciate him. So that's my mistake. Maybe I didn't do enough, and he's right on that. But he has no right to feel bad. If he feels bad for me because he loves me so much and he feels that I'm not doing the right thing and that's why he feels bad, then it's one thing. But I don't think that was the case. So I took the message very seriously because it was my fault. If someone feels unrecognized and unappreciated, then it's my fault, it's my obligation. Personally, he didn't give me the money. But at the end of the day, he did help me in doing something that is beautiful and great. Okay, so then I have a job to appreciate. But that he should feel bad, that you should feel bad because somebody isn't recognizing you, your children aren't recognizing you, that you should feel bad that they're not recognizing you. That a parent could do. A parent could look at his children and feel bad that they don't have the right hakarat hatov. Because it's not good for them not to have appreciation. That much you could feel bad for. But that you should feel bad that you're unappreciated, that is a trap of kindness. The more kindness you do, the more people you help, you're going to fall into that trap. And you're going to start hating people. That's why you'll see many, many, many big-hearted people. Check in with them 10 years later, 20 years later, they hate everybody. You'll see a lot of good-hearted people, a lot of good-hearted people that give their life to others and give their money. Fast forward 10, 15, 20 years, however long, hate everybody.
A little bit.
Because they're not feeling appreciated enough by all the people they're doing the kindness for. It's such a terrible trap. You see how a person who goes off balance, meaning They're not understanding what's happening. And all of a sudden, their ship is diving, drowning in the ocean. Terrible disease where a person develops this terrible attitude. Because I give you, so you now owe me. You owe me, but I shouldn't feel that you owe me because it's kindness on my end. That's what this means. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go appease them. Go see if they could find it in their heart to give money for my building. Oh, I gave them everything? So don't they owe me? Yeah, they owe me. They owe me, yes. But I, the creator of the world, cannot speak to them as if they owe me. Because if I did, then it wouldn't be kindness what I did for them. So therefore, what was given is over. You helped your children. You helped them buy a house. You helped them. How many times a guy helps his son buy a house? His daughter, he gives them a house. He gives them something. And for the rest of his life, he's feeling like you're my servant. The way you're supposed to talk to me, all of a sudden, the tone isn't good enough. The reciprocation isn't good enough. Everything changes from your end because how could you not do more for me who gave you? It's a big trap of kindness. Hakarat HaTov is a one-way street, not a two-way street. Yes, they owe you the world, but you, from your own, can demand nothing. Not only demand in words, meaning you should feel like you're owed nothing. It's not just in your wording. You should walk away thinking, I am owed nothing by this student who I just spent 2 years, day after day, working. He owes me nothing. From my end, for me, I had the biggest zechut. I did kindness for him. I owe him. If not for him, I couldn't do kindness. From my end, I am lucky that I was able to help him. I'm lucky I was able to buy a house for my daughter. I'm lucky that I was able to give my children all the money that I could give them. All this, I'm lucky because if not for them, I couldn't do kindness. So I am fortunate. You owe me, from my end, you owe me nothing. Again, from your end, you have your own book you have to look into. From my end, you owe me nothing. Kindness has to be one way, no strings attached. What could you imagine what a marriage looks like with such a mindset? You know, kim'at, I don't want to say all, that would sound too much of an expert. I would say a very, very large portion, like not 51%. I'm talking in the 90s of all marriage issues, whether they end up in divorce or they're just issues that are putting a strain on the marriage. Well, on whatever level, it's usually because people feel unappreciated. That's just, it's, you don't have to even sit with them. You could just guess on your own that this is their feeling. The husband says, I work so hard. I do this, I do that. You don't know what I do. You don't know how much I give. You don't know. I can't even tell you. If I sat here and told you, it wouldn't be enough. Where's the appreciation? I don't see the appreciation. She's not around. She's not doing this. She's not doing that. Like, 2 minutes later, you sit with her. It's the same recording from a different angle. Rabbi, you don't know what I do. You know? He doesn't know what I do. He doesn't know what I do. I'm up at night, I wake up early, I gotta take care, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm serving, I'm this. Wait, where is the appreciation? He doesn't call, he doesn't send it. Can't believe it, it's like a fiction movie. It doesn't make sense. He feels, she How could that be? So obviously the solution to such a problem is you tell them, listen, I'm going to buy you both a book on Hakarat HaTov. It seems that you don't appreciate your wife and she doesn't appreciate you. Very simple solution. I'm going to buy you a book on Hakarat HaTov. You're going to read it and she's going to read it. And Be'ezrat Hashem, if you have a focus on Hakarat HaTov, you will fix your problem. Hashem. It's going to be a few months and you guys will be appreciating each other in no time, and it's going to be a beautiful marriage. But the reality is that's not the problem. It's not possible that a husband and wife don't appreciate each other. You should know. It's not possible. Unless you're really totally, totally in a different world of evil, I would say that every husband, I bet that this woman that's talking to me, there's nobody in the world that appreciates someone's husband. I'm pretty sure. Who appreciates them more? The neighbor? Who has her son, her daughter? Her sister? No. I have no doubt that this man does more for her than anybody on the planet. And the same for him. I don't have a doubt that she's doing more for him than anybody on this planet. So how can it be that the person who does the most for you and you're feeling unappreciated? How can that be? She cooks for you, she cleans for you, clean clothing, she takes care of everything that you... No one does that for you. So how can it be you're feeling unappreciated? That's ridiculous. But that's not the answer. To give them a book on Hakarat HaTov is not really the answer. It's not a bad idea, but it's not the real answer. Because their problem isn't so much they don't appreciate each other. Their problem is that they expect too much from each other. He's looking at himself and saying, I know she does, of course she does more than anyone else, but compared to what I do, doesn't come close. The appreciation she owes me doesn't come close. It's a big deal she made this. Big deal she does that. Big deal. You know how much she owes me compared to what I do? Because there's nobody in the world that I do more for than her. So in my mind, the bill is an inflated bill, especially in my head. I take it to a new level. Guy owes you $1 billion and he sends you a check for $10,000. He said, what? I paid. He paid? What thing? It's called payment. It's called, no, you didn't do anything for me. You owe me so much money. When a person feels that someone owes him so much, there's not enough that they can give back that can make them feel paid off it. Their mistake, this husband and wife, and every husband and wife, our lives would change completely if we would fix this. It's a big undertaking because it's not the way that we normally, we live a life that's off balance. We give and give and give and give, and we put it in the bills department. So we have a ship that's full of bills. My wife owes me. My mother at one point also owes me. My father also owes me. I pick him up every morning. I take care of his bills. I take him here. My employees owe me. My students owe me. My neighbors owe me. My grandchildren owe me. At some point, your ship has so many bills on it that you're feeling so low in underappreciation by people. You can't deal with it anymore. And your ship starts to sink because all the bills that are unpaid, at least in your mind, they're not paid. The people I helped in the yeshiva, the people I gave money to, everything good is in your life, it's going to sink your ship because it all became bills. And comes the Torah and says, no, sir. You owe them, if anything, because without them, you couldn't be fulfilling your mission of kindness in this world. You're lucky you have a child that you're able to sacrifice for them. You're lucky you could pay their bills. You're lucky if you could buy them a house. First of all, God gave you the money. That's number one. Number two, without them, who could you give your money to? What would you do with your money if not to give them and kindness? And it's a whole different way of life. Imagine a home where each one would feel that they owe the other one for allowing them to give them. Then every meal would be like, wow, I can't believe you're doing this with them. Can't believe it. You made me potatoes tonight? I can't believe it. Like, a guy, the first guy comes to home, you only made potatoes. That's all I'm worth? Potatoes with some tomatoes on the side. Since he gets up, as I say, no appreciation in this house. After all that I do, potatoes. The second guy says, wow, okay, potatoes. Unbeliever. Let me tell you something. If your neighbor one day came with a meal for dinner of some potatoes, you say, wow, guy, you bought me potatoes? You bought them, and you cooked them, and you marinated them, and you served them on a plate for me, and you brought them hot? What a neighbor. Who does that? Can't believe my neighbor. Guy randomly on Monday comes and gives me potatoes. You believe it? Oh, because you don't expect anything. So wow, it's bonus, beautiful. But in your home with the people that you're expecting from, it's not enough. Everything would change in every relationship when a person has the right balance of understanding. When you give, you're the lucky one. They owe you, that's their book. That's their ship. If your ship is full of bills that you owe others, you have a very balanced ship. If your ship is full of bills that people owe you, then your ship is definitely in a very big storm and could sink at some point. Be careful as you get bigger in life, as you do more in life, as you help more people in life. Be careful not to have the bills that they're owing you. No accounts receivable on kindness. And if you do have accounts receivable, your ship is going to tilt in a very dangerous way. Be a balanced person. Know when you owe. And know when something is kindness. And know when people are doing extra for you. Because in your mind, they don't owe you. And feel it in such a way. Your life becomes this unbelievably kind place where everybody around you is just doing good for you. You can't believe how they're doing good for you. You can't believe your son came over just to get a bracha before Shabbat. Wow, can't believe it. Came over before he got a bracha. What a kid. The next guy next door. That's all he does. He comes to get a bracha, nothing in his hand. No gift, no nothing. Everything could be viewed in its opposite lens when the ship is not balanced. Avraham Avinu was a balanced man. The Akedah, he gave to Hashem? No way. What I gave to Hashem? Hashem, thank you, you gave me such a zechut of the Akedah. Yes, I made a good decision. I'm proud of that. But everything else? What a gift that you were able to serve Hashem and to be able to give Hashem such a beautiful situation. Thank you. Katonti, I feel like a small person. I'm able to teach students. What a beautiful thing, Hashem. What do I do? How do I pay you back for this? I'm able to support a yeshiva. I'm able to build buildings. I'm able to help people. Hashem, what do I do? How do I thank you for this? I don't know what to do. Such a person was Avraham Avinu. After the Akedah, he felt more humble. He owed Hashem more. And now he comes home, his wife passed away. He didn't take it as, didn't get offended by it. And then the way he dealt with people, in the most humble way, in the most respectable way, it all came, all of that came from his balanced mind. He knew where to put which things on his boat, in which department. And all of a sudden, the boat is beautifully in the water, in his journey, smooth sailing to its destination. A balanced person is a great person. A balanced person is a happy person. A balanced person is an accomplished person. So many of life's issues happen because our ship isn't balanced. We're thinking off. When we balance the thinking, all of a sudden things all work out beautiful. Have a wonderful day.